We are glad every time we can be here and hear the word of the Lord. As I have often said, this is the best time we ever have. It is here in the presence of God. And we have already heard marvelous words. The only question is whether we take it all to heart, whether we think about it and ponder on it and let ourselves be given the strength to put it into practice. Sometimes it is very difficult. If it is written here, rejoice in the Lord always. And we are moping most of the time, then this is not pleasing to the Lord. And yet there is a repentance that is acceptable in the sight of the Lord. We must weigh the scriptures in this way. Everything has its time. I believe it was our Lord Himself who said, "Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice," and so on. Or was it Paul? Doesn't matter. I actually have a testimony tonight of what God has done to people. And that is always so beautiful when God still works on people. It doesn't always have to be on us. It can also be on others. And by the way, I also learned a lesson from the testimony that was given to me, that you can say anything from up here that you have experienced somewhere. Before you know it, it's back to the sender and you are in trouble. I made here a comment last weekend about my visit to Belgium, didn't I? And how it should be, even if people aren't here, it's only a matter of hours. And then everyone knows. Unfortunately, there is a telephone in the country, in other countries too, and then you get into trouble very quickly. But with God's help, things can turn out well or for the better. In any case, I heard one of the most marvelous testimonies from the brother. Five men came on Sunday afternoon, including this brother who was meant. And we were able to clear up the misunderstandings in a few minutes. God gives us so much grace. After all, we don't have the spirit of contention, but of peace. And we can settle more disputes than we can make. Certainly, there are people who understand it the other way around, but there are also those who are destined to make peace. But now we come to the testimony. This brother is originally from Italy and spent a few years in Belgium, but he became a believer here. And his wife, she was lashing out. She was a very strong Catholic. She didn't want to believe. And then one day he said, "Listen, either you go with me to Krefeld one day, or our paths separate. I've experienced God. You can experience Him too." And then it happened. but she came in long trousers and makeup and in inner turmoil, because this was a Saturday I'm talking about, and on the Sunday there was quote-unquote Holy Communion in the family, right? And the husband said, "You are coming with me," and she wanted to join the relatives to celebrate the feast. And he said, "No, you are coming with me, and if you go, then you can go and stay there." And she probably didn't want that. But now she came here, went upstairs, and didn't want to come down. She didn't want to come to the service. She was upset inside and didn't want to go down. And this brother, who had never seen Sister Kupfer in his life, is wandering around here, praying and wrestling with God and himself, and sees Sister Kupfer and asks, "Do you speak French?" And she says, "Of course. Could you please go up and see my wife? She's in room so-and-so. But don't be frightened. She's a non-believer." "Yes," she says, "I'll go upstairs." And of course, you can imagine, that's when it started. But because these two cases were roughly the same, Sister Kupfer came to Zurich, and the next Sunday there was to be communion in her own home, and she became a believer and immediately went to the priest and said, "Communion is no longer taking place. I've become a believer." And now God uses this sister, who was in the same situation at that time, to go upstairs here in the building next door and says, "Listen, don't worry. I've been through a lot. In this way, I became a believer. Just imagine, there was communion. It was supposed to be next Sunday." And she hears, "Communion? Yes, it's tomorrow with us." Now Sister Kupfer is giving her own testimony, and this woman, she thinks, "Is she now talking about me? What is this actually about?" And to make a long story short, a few minutes were enough. The woman changed her clothes, came to the meeting, and experienced the Lord. I just wanted to say that God still has ways and means to speak to people, to call them, and also to find the right tone and the right people to speak to these people. When you hear such testimonies, you feel happy inside, because all knowledge and instruction is valuable and precious. But the most precious is still a soul, because that is worth more than the whole world. And so, I was actually very grateful for the testimony I heard here on Sunday afternoon. And we can see that the Lord is still at work. Sometimes we think nothing is happening in our family and surroundings or in us, but God is still at work. We are still in the time of grace. People are still being saved and finding the Lord and being pardoned, and thus coming to peace with God. Personally, I was very touched by the fact that people still find their salvation and bliss in the Lord. This is what every church service should be about, so that the Lord can reveal himself to people. And also from the word we read, and that we heard, we should, as our brother has already said, take new courage to trust the Lord. Probably it was read from chapter 1. I just came in. I'm not quite sure. But that the Lord will finish it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That which he has begun and where he has begun. Dear brother, dear sister, friends, if you know that the Lord has begun in your life, then I can assure you, based on the word of the Lord, that he will finish what he has begun. And if we know this, then we are already resting in the living God and are not floundering around in uncertainty, but have anchored our faith, which is not dependent on circumstances, but is anchored in what God has done in Christ. Verse 6 here in Philippians 1 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I repeat, if we know and have experienced that the Lord has begun his work in us, then we have the certainty that he will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ, not your day. You set yourself a date and say, dear Savior, I can't go on. Until then and then, this and that must happen. That's not what it says here at all. It says, until the day of Jesus Christ. And when that day is, that is not your day, that is the day of Jesus Christ. Finish. And then the work in progress is complete. But sometimes we make life difficult for ourselves. Maybe not you, but my mentality tends to do so. Here it is actually written that he who has begun a good work in us will perform it. Not when you set the time, not when we think it should already be, but on the day of Jesus Christ. And if God's work in me is completed on the day of Jesus Christ, then I have nothing to fear. Then the beginning will have been worth it. And then we can only thank the Lord for his grace and faithfulness. Let's just believe it today. He who began will finish unto the day of Jesus Christ. Unto the day of Jesus Christ. We would like to see the completion today, or rather have had it yesterday, or a day before yesterday. And here it says, unto the day of Jesus Christ. And we worry and fret and trouble the Lord. Instead of believing with all our heart and surrendering ourselves completely and utterly to God. And if doubts sometimes arise, they are not about what God has done. Absolutely not. No, we believe in a perfect, in a finished work. But this perfect work of God will be completed in the church and through the church on the day of Jesus Christ. And so we want to thank the Lord deeply that he has promised it and that he will do it. And then, of course, in verse 9, Paul writes, And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Let us make this our prayer request. Let this be our prayer. It was Paul's prayer. He says, and this I pray, yes, my prayer too. The prayer of all of us today is that our love, the longer it lasts, the more it increases in knowledge and sensitivity. Who has sensitivity? May God give it to us all. Really, a fine feeling. I would like to call it spiritual sensitivity. How we can serve one another, be a blessing, say what builds others up. That's what was read to us in the last chapter. Here it says, in Philippians 4, what we should be mindful of. It is from verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. If only we had these three things under control, that we only say what is true. Not what we mean, but what is really true, what is honorable and just. But who can do that? Who can be just? God can help us with that too. It goes on, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We notice how the apostles' attention was drawn by the Spirit of God to those things that can only be a blessing to everyone. If we say what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is of good report, and all these virtues that are praiseworthy, think on these things. We must also take this to heart. We must know what is important. We need to know what edifies and what destroys. We need to understand what brings together and unites and what divides and tears apart. And from this we recognize which spirit we are inspired by. If it is the Spirit of God, then, as we have read, things around us are like one link interlocking with the other. And we realize that God blesses and can make you a blessing. Then there is no contentiousness, no bossiness. Then there is no nonsense, no stubbornness. Then each one is mindful of what is the other's, in order to be a blessing to one another. Be careful for nothing. I have to remember that first. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is also why we are here tonight, to present our requests before God with prayer and supplication combined with thanksgiving. And then comes the summary. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we can come to the point where all our thinking can be kept in Christ, then we are helped. And how can this thinking be in Christ if we think in the divine thoughts, if we think what God has thought? For it is written, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The same mind. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, the mind argues, and discord and strife ensue. The peace of God is higher than any argument, higher than anything we could object to or put forward. The peace of God goes all the way back to Golgotha, where God made peace with us. He has brought peace to those who are near and peace to those who are far off, and has taken away the middle wall of partition and made us peacemakers. We have read it often enough. And this peace of God, let it be emphasized, peace of God. There are people who keep peace as long as the situation goes their way. And when that is no longer the case, then the peace is no longer there. But the peace of God remains. Those who have peace with God have it and keep it. It is not something you have and then don't have, and then have and don't have. But like the grace of God and the salvation of God, our experience with God, we have it and we carry it within us. Then the peace of God, not a peace, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding of men, will rule our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, everything. And that is a beautiful rulership. I desire such a rulership in my heart. Of this peace of God, which is like a river that pours out. And it says in the prophet Isaiah, oh, that you had heeded my commandments, your peace would have been like the waves of the sea. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall rule your hearts and keep your minds through Jesus Christ. A glorious promise, a preservation that we could not do ourselves, but God has made it possible. In the midst of all the strife around us, we can keep our peace with God. And we even have to make sure that we don't let our peace with God be taken away from us. Because look, many things should be different in the last days than they have been for thousands of years. But the children of God are the exception. And that is not our merit, know our worthiness. It is all the mercy and grace of God. Why are we here today? Just to hear something? No, we are here to hear God, to let Him speak to us through His Word. We are here today so that Golgotha may be transfigured for us anew, and so that we may realize what the Lord has done for us and what our walk with Him should be like. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let us also take this to heart. We should be mindful of this, because these are things with which we can be a blessing to others, and that is what we want. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We may be able to deceive others, but we cannot deceive ourselves. We need to make sure that our hearts are filled with this love of God, and that our whole thinking, in fact, everything we are, could be veiled in this divine peace. Verse 9 in chapter 1, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Last weekend, the thought here was of the fruit, of the vine, of the branches, and so on. Here we are again talking about bearing fruit, about recognizing what is right in every situation. We cannot do this on our own either. No. Our decisions deceive us. Our judgment deceives us. We have to rely on God and say, "Lord, you alone." And if we can entrust ourselves to the Lord in this way, and really agree with the songwriter and say, "No more of my own way and will, you alone decide," then God will certainly do it without us having to say much about it. The longer, the more love should abound, and we should not lag behind in knowledge and sensitivity. It should be there to test what is right in every situation, not just in some cases, but in every case. God will bring us to the point where we will find in ourselves all that He has promised here. I believe this, because we have put our will into His will. There is no other way anyway. We search for the will of God. We say and cry out, "Your will be done in my life." And it is certainly the same for all of us, that we say to the Lord repeatedly, our life only had meaning and purpose when it was in the service of God. This applies to brothers and sisters alike. We are all here to serve the Lord. The service of God doesn't happen here in the front by preaching. We serve God throughout our lives. And if we take this into our hearts and know that wherever God has placed us, we should be at His disposal, at His service, and He will give and grant it to us to approve things that are excellent. I desire it. I wish it for myself, and I wish it for every true child of God, that these words are not only written here, but that they could become a reality in all our lives by grace. You and I, we sometimes don't know which way God is leading us. We quarrel with Him, sometimes worse than others have done. But that is perhaps only a matter between those who have a ministry to fulfill. All others probably walk the path with God without any worries. Here it says, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye unto the day of Christ. You will notice the difference between the phrase day of the Lord in all the other scriptures, and here we are talking about the day of Jesus Christ, not the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is already the time where judgment is revealed. The day of the Lord is a terrible day. The day of Jesus Christ is our day, the day we are waiting for, when our Lord returns to unite us with Himself. And the day of the Lord is then the day that will be revealed in fire and in judgment on all the wicked. How beautifully the men of God have put it through the Holy Spirit. I always rejoice when I see these traces in the Word of God. How accurate, I almost said, as if the Spirit of God had dictated. And He has dictated. It was direct inspiration that we are dealing with here. So, we are to stand on the day of Jesus Christ without spot or blemish or wrinkle. John has already seen the multitude perfected in glory. And why shouldn't we be there too? In some seal, Brother Branham probably said something like this, so that everyone recognizes that his name is also written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I dare say that all those to whom these things have really been revealed by the Spirit must belong to God. Otherwise, the connection would not be there at all. The same connection that Brother Branham had through the Spirit of God and was introduced into the mysteries, the same connection we have to God. And we are introduced by the same Spirit into the same Word, into the same mysteries. And what great men of God didn't know, every uncle and aunt today, if they are children of God, can know and receive it into their heart as divine revelation. There are enough people sitting here tonight who know more than all the reformers and great men of God who have been on earth by the grace of God, because this is the hour in which God has revealed the hidden things. What a grace that we may live in this time. I hope that one day we will be able to fully realize and that we overact when we fully realize what has actually been given to us by God, namely great and glorious things. And He who began will finish unto the day of Jesus Christ. And this is the day we are waiting for, and we are not waiting in vain. The day comes, and the Lord comes on that day to be glorified in His own, and to find admiration in all who have believed in Him, and no one will be disappointed. In the meantime, we may all be disappointed in ourselves, in others, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that we keep our eyes forward. It is written in Philippians that Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And that's what we want to do tonight in faith. How wonderful it would be if all of us could open our hearts and mouths and give thanks to the Lord. It doesn't need to be long, but from the heart. May God grant grace for this. Amen.